Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 205. Trish Gazelle hanging out with us. We have something special for you.
Ah, good.
You like Sody?
I love Sody.
I know you like Sody. So, did you find out that Pepsi is no longer number two?
Yeah.
It's Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do a report card of best Sodies.
Good.
Okay? So, if you've never heard us do a report card, we have A plus A, B, C, D, and F. Two slots for each, if I've done my math correctly. And it's sort of like Congress. We all have to negotiate and trade and agree. But then we will together come up with A through F. Now, I always have to say this because when we did like singers and Elvis Presley ended up in F and people said they never listened to the show again. Something good, can something's got to go in F. Something's got to go in D.
Can I, point of order, are we doing diet or just regular? Because
I don't
drink diet, and
I've missed you, and I haven't.
I'm on her side.
We're going to do one diet,
okay?
And it can be any diet you want. So we're going to, in fact, we'll do it right now. Diet Coke, but if you're a Diet Pepsi person or a diet something else, you can just imagine that in your mind.
Totally.
But
we can't.
But given
over here,
diet is so huge, it has to be on the list. So where are we putting it?
I think it has to be an A. I'm not going to say A plus because it is diet, but there is, if you drink diet soda and you're thirsty and you're just craving a soda so bad and you get that Diet Coke.
If it's all you drink.
Yeah, if it's all you drink, it's an A. It's an A plus, really, but I'd say it's an A.
When these two get a sip of the real elixir,
that is
non-diet soda.
No argument.
You are so right.
They're feels like I'm on real Coke.
It's so good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I had one of Trish's Cokes today. It was so good. You would do that all the time.
I would, yes.
I don't even think diet should be on there in that case.
Wow.
I mean, just let's all say Diet Coke's number one. Great. Move on from diet.
We can put it in C because we're two A's and two F's.
Fine, I think C is a nice compromise.
Okay. Jeez. Walk sense starts taking over the show. The new number two, Dr. Pepper.
Used to love it when I was younger. My tastes have changed. I still like it, but I was a little surprised that it took the number two spot.
I am with you. I used to really like it, and all of a sudden, it turned on me, and now all I taste is cough syrup.
Yeah.
Like, it just all of a sudden, I don't know what it is. So I would put that at a D.
You just ruined it for me. I could never put my finger on it, but that's what it is.
Especially it's warm. Ugh.
Yeah.
I used to really hate it. I actually like it more now, but I think D is an appropriate place for it.
I'm fine with that.
D for Dr. Pepper.
D for the Pep.
D for Doc.
Root beer. Whatever, whether it's Barks or it's A&W, whatever your root beer.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Mug, Barks, or whatever.
What?
That's all trash. The craft root beer is where it's at. Like, Fitz's is very good. Like, IBC is very good. Frosty.
Bark,
Mug, Bark.
Bark. I don't know if it's Barg or Bark. I don't even know how you say it.
Yeah, it's Barg.
I can't drink root beer all the time. It's like a treat.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't
drink it with ice.
Really?
No, it's got to be ice cold, but no ice.
That's interesting.
I've got a friend who, when he makes you a soda, he pours the soda in a glass and then says, do you want me to add ice?
Oh, that's awful.
That's insane.
Awful.
What a freak.
I go iceless with soda. Not like a fountain soda,
no.
But if I'm pouring a soda in a cup,
in
I gotta go
cups.
Ice.
Also,
yeah,
I have
iceless.
To have my cans in the fridge before I put it on ice. It makes such a difference
that's
when you
correct.
Drink soda.
It's true.
I'm an F for root beer. I'm sorry to all the root beer lovers.
I would
out there.
Be a C, but
yes, we can do D for root beer as well.
I
know there's
going to
be better coming.
It's going to have to go to C because I like it pretty well.
Yeah, let's just C. I like it too.
Fair enough.
Well, where's diet?
Diet's in C. We can put two in each grade.
I got it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And we can move them around. Cherry, fill in the blank.
Oh, ooh. I like a cherry.
Yeah, that's like an A+ for me.
I could do, A or A+.
I'm going to do B because I can't have it all the time again.
So it'll end up in A. Okay, there you go. See how well this is going. Sprite.
Love Sprite.
Sprite is a refreshing tropical treat for the senses.
I would go C.
He's a fan.
Better than Barg.
Barg. Barg's
a
root beer.
Barg?
Really
Barg's
go for
mugs.
A Barg right now.
I'm parched.
I'm just whatever about Sprite. I can't tell you the last time
Barg's
I had one.
Here?
I'm kind of like Trish.
Yeah, same. I like Sprite a lot, but I don't reach for it.
What about B?
Huh?
B for Sprite.
Oh, I thought he was saying like another. I'm like, what's B?
What about B flavored soda, you
think,
Dave?
You think Sprite's over root beer?
Yeah, I would do Sprite over root beer. Yeah, I think so.
Nah.
Does that include like 7-Up, like the refreshing
citrus? Yeah.
Can we play the game? Can either one of you or your new friend just let us play the let it roll out?
I can't wait till we get to Coke and Pepsi because I want to tell you why I like one over the other.
Before we even start the game, Gazelle raises her hand, literally physically raises her hand. What about diet?
I did forget that Dave gets upset if you try to jump ahead and report hard.
But yeah. I can't wait to explain.
I forgot that too. It wasn't until I asked about 7-Up, I was like, oh, wait, yes, that's right.
All right.
That's right.
Okay.
Supposed to let
Where'd you
happen.
Put it, Dave?
I put it into B. Oh, it's probably going to move. Okay. Pepsi.
Okay. I actually like the
Okay.
All
right, so, okay.
I wish I had a presentation, like PowerPoint right now. I actually like the taste of Pepsi better than Coke. And that's what we had growing up. I couldn't wait to open the bottles. We had the Pepsi bottles in the fridge. Oh, I loved it. However, Coke keeps the fizz longer. You could put a Coke can open in the fridge and you'll have fizz the next day. And that's why Coke is better than Pepsi.
I've never heard you make a more cogent argument about anything.
I also
prefer
Coke.
You had your ducks
Coke.
In a row.
So I like Pepsi, but it can't be A because Coke's my A.
But we have an A+.
Well, then Coke's my A+, and Pepsi will be...
I could put Pepsi in it. I like Coke and Pepsi about the same. I think they are flavor-wise. I think that she's right about it, keeping better in a can.
Oh, I know. It's not like an opinion.
So what
it
about
is
this,
fact.
Trish, if every soda you had was an ice-cold Pepsi in a glass, in a bottle, are you throwing that Coke away?
Wait, you know what?
You're,
if it keeps the fizz?
You're thinking about the fizz. That's no longer an issue. You're never going to
so
keep
it
overnight.
Fizz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Woo.
Do you agree, Trish, that fountain Pepsis are better than fountain Cokes? Do you agree with that?
Except McDonald's.
Yeah, I can take or leave McDonald's Coke, if I'm being honest.
Really?
What? Yeah. Everyone loves McDonald's Coke. It's a thing.
I know everybody does. So
I think Pepsi fountain is better. Yes. Whenever I go to QT, I get a fountain Pepsi.
Same.
Mm-hmm. You are all over the place. It's fascinating.
I've never seen them like collaborate like this before.
It makes me really uncomfortable. Okay, so are we putting Coke in A+?
Yeah.
I mean, I am.
I think you could. I mean, it's
what I drink.
Plus, it's the story, right? Like, it's the
Mountain Dew.
Okay, I used to really hate Mountain Dew, but now that I have branched out into the Baja Blast and the different flavors, I could put it up pretty high. Honestly.
This is a Mountain Dew Purple Thunder, which is the Circle K exclusive flavor. It's elderberry plum flavored. It just tastes like grape. Now, regular Mountain Dew, the green stuff in the bottle, that's like a C or a D for me. I don't actually like it that much. But a lot of these...
As a base.
Yes. A lot of these seasonal flavors, like the elderberry plum here, or the citrus punch overdrive from Casey's, the Casey's exclusive flavor.
Again, he could be defending his PhD thesis.
I could write a PhD thesis about Mountain Dew.
I'm fine with it. I bet it's not like an A or B.
Those are my A+. But if you're just talking straight on Mountain Dew...
All right, I'm going to put it...
Maybe even F.
I'm going to put it alongside its friends Diet Coke and Root Beer and C for now.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll move something.
Yes. Crush, Fanta, Sunkist, whatever your poison is for orange
soda.
Too.
It's good.
It's good, but we're running out of room in the top categories.
I know.
I need it to be in B.
I could do that. Mm-hmm. Sunkist is like an A for me, but I did have to stop drinking it because it has more sugar than any other soda, like, combined. And I'm like, all right, I got to sacrifice something if I'm going to...
So you just stuck with Coke.
I'm going to keep my teeth past 40.
But Garfield brought you Sunkist.
Garfield did bring me Sunkist, and I will be drinking it.
What about a Vess? Vess Orange. That's
Vess
good
Orange
too.
Is great.
Ooh, can so you good. Go down
Whistle.
Where we're at, please?
What do we have?
What we have?
Yeah,
can
we? A+, Coke. In A, Cherry, anything in Pepsi. In B, Sprite and Sunkist. In C, Diet, Root Beer, Mountain Dew. And D, Dr. Pepper. My next one is Vess. Across the board, because it was sort of like value, but we all had it as a kid.
And we all wanted it. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't drink it that much now.
Right. Nostalgia's fine.
I mean, I'm going B if it's nostalgia.
That's really tough because I don't
I find them delightful.
I hated cream when I was a kid. Ooh, I hated cream. Yeah, and my dad like loved either. Cream, but now I would have a cream. Great story.
Ooh, I hated it.
I hated it.
You two seem like you're auditioning for the same part in a movie.
We are, yes.
Well, if you're talking,
I like soda.
If you're talking about mug or barg.
Barg.
I'm going home like, I can't believe I said barg. I totally flubbed the line. I guess B is okay for
yeah, I'm really fine putting it anywhere.
Okay, it's going
because whistle's great and grape is great. The rest of it's kind of
7 Up.
Just put it in F.
Yeah.
No, 7 Up is better than Sprite because 7 Up.
That's
and
false.
It's,
I don't think so.
It's crisper. It's fresher. It's got a stronger citrus flavor, and it is great for a tummy ache in a way that Sprite is not.
Mm. Has anyone ever had a Yoo-Hoo?
No. We're just blowing right past the.
It's
Mr. What's a Yoo-Hoo?
Mr. Smith
I don't even
goes
know
to the 7 Up factory.
Oh. No.
I've had a Yoo-Hoo. Yeah, loved them as a kid. F. I don't think I could drink one as an adult. They're so sugary.
Hey, have you had that new Poppin'? You know, it's like the bubbly.
They're being sued by the government about something.
Is it really? Poppy?
Yeah.
Is it pop? What is
it? Poppy. Yeah. It's like a probiotic soda, right?
I just thought it was a flavored soda, kind of like bubbly, but
I think it's supposed to have. did you say it was called Boobly?
Well, because there was like a Michael Bublé commercial.
Okay. I think it's got like probiotics or something in it. It's got something in the poppies that is supposed to make them like better for you. I have some cans. I haven't tried it yet.
It's pretty good. Mm. That's all I wanted to get to.
Okay, we need to move them around. Coke is solidly an A+. In A, we have cherry, anything, and Pepsi. Do you want to move one of those up to A+?
I think
cherry.
I think we bumped cherry.
Go cherry.
Yeah, let's bump cherry up to A+.
Okay. That gives us room to put something into A from B. We have Sprite, Sunkist, and Vess.
I think the one that we all like best collectively from there was Vess, right?
Yeah, it's our childhood.
Yeah,
that's good. That allows us Sprite and Sunkist in B, Diet anything, root beer, and Mountain Dew in C.
We can move down Mountain Dew. I think as for like the regular green.
All right.
I mean, I would
there you go. According to the DG and S, A+ sodas, Coke and cherry anything. A is Vess from our childhood and still, and Pepsi. B is Sprite and Sunkist. C is Diet anything and root beer. D is Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew. And F is 7-Up and Yoo-Hoo.
Unreal.
I'm good with it.
Pretty good. 223 DGS. Ricky Horton's with us at 2:45. Got Trish Gazelle here, so let's do a little impromptu Trish's Trash. Let's start with the Baldwins.
Yeah, I thought you would love this.
Oh.
So they're doing a reality show, him and Hilaria, and their 7 kids. And it's like, really? You're doing a reality show now? And,
right.
I mean, I feel like it's purposeful, don't you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's turn this public opinion around. I'll show you how good of a dad I am.
I agree. I think that's exactly it.
It's weird.
They should start the first episode with that voicemail. That he left his other daughter. Yeah.
Will you watch it?
Yeah. For sure.
I'll probably watch it too.
I mean, I just got to see it.
I got to see if Hilaria is going to try to pretend she's Spanish some more.
Yeah.
Or if she's dropped that. I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to them since that all happened.
Do you predict it works at all, or do you think it'll backfire?
I think it will have a lot of viewers now, whether, you know, people's opinion of him change. I don't know. And it'll be curious to see if they mention it.
Right.
You know, or like how they're handling what's happening in their lives, like that aspect of it.
Oh, I would think I would almost guarantee they mention it just because of the way they talk to the press.
To
and
get
stuff.
The message out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be maudlin and it'll be,
I also
the
started.
Things we've gone through.
So that's on TLC, which is the same network. And remember, I reported on it extensively last season on KMOX.
The Edward R. Murrow Award, my memory.
MILF Manor was the first season, was like 40, 50, 6-year-old women who are in this house, and they were going to date like 20-year-old young men. And I think the oldest might have been 30. And the twist was the young men who came in the house it was all of their sons. So they're dating each other's sons. So they just started, well, now there were five episodes in. I just caught up. MILF Manor season two, where same thing, same concept, women. So they meet these young men, and oh my gosh, here comes some more men. It's their dads. So they're dating sons and fathers.
This is,
get it?
It's how old are the fathers?
It's the young men's fathers.
Oh, okay.
So they're like
exes are in
there. I thought it was the old lady's fathers.
So, yeah, so they're like ex-husbands or boyfriends or whatever.
No. The women are dating.
Uh-huh.
The young men come in, it's the young men's fathers. So they're dating father-sons.
Oh!
That's really gross.
You're competing with your dad for
yes,
a woman.
Yes, thank you. And two of the people are from St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they still live here, but they, like, the guy's calling her St. Louis. Like, hey, what's up, St. Louis? Like, they both grew up here. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. But I did feel really bad because his son, they hadn't talked for 5 years. Like, there was a big rift between
them. Now they have something to talk
about. Yeah, now they're in the same house trying to date the same women. It is so perverse and weird, and I can't quit watching. It's just so weird.
Is it like entertaining, or is it is it just that you can't not watch, like you can't look away from
it? It's entertaining, like in that type of way. I mean, there's cat fights just like there are on The Bachelor and everything.
If we did a report card of reality shows, what's your A plus and your A?
Oh, my A plus is Top Chef for sure. And then Survivor. I mean, Housewives, I love. Mm-hmm. Anything on Bravo, I love. Yeah. Summer House. But like well done, smart reality shows. Top Chef is great.
We were all hoping MILF Manor.
MILF Manor would be in the F category. But I mean, I still watch it every week.
Welcome back, DGS 235. Trish Gazelle hanging out with us. We have Ricky Horton coming up. We have Darren Lowry, who's going to be a guest at 4 p.m., who believes that we have been in the Carolinas for 23,000 years, 26,000 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Trish, you're going to want to stick around for that one, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot to say about it, so.
Space stuff.
I didn't even hear what you guys are talking about.
Throwback Thursday?
Yes, it's time for Throwback Thursday. 180 years ago, in 1844, the Young Men's Christian Association was founded in London. That's the YMCA.
Ah,
180 years.
Can I just say something? Can they hear us out there?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think they listen to us out
there. We have a bunch of Girl Scouts who are here for a tour. They've been here for a while, so we've kind of gotten used to them. And
I hope they can't.
There's a big window behind me, and I had my shirt pulled up in the back.
Yeah.
And there was something on my back, like maybe it's a little zit or something. I'm kind of going to work on it. Look, I'm just being real.
Yeah.
This is a very real show.
Yeah.
Bringing the DJ to the DGS. And I'm like, oh, I think I can get you. And
ew,
then you guys started waving, and they're standing right at the window. And I was like, oh.
Faces pushed up against
the
door.
Are you blaming it on us for waving? Like bringing attention?
No.
You're saying you realized they were there when we started waving.
They were
like, well,
they
were looking at me.
Waving.
What do you want me to do? Be like, Ron,
no, you didn't. You didn't manifest them.
I am praying that my shirt is like fully covering everything. I'm like,
good thing you weren't itching your butt.
Yeah, what are the chances of that, huh? About 50-50.
All right, 91 years ago in 1933, the first drive-in movie theater opened in Camden, New Jersey.
I love it.
I've never been to one.
Too.
You know, I just saw something with, what's the one, Skyview?
Yeah.
It's been open for 75 years. That's not the one we went to, sorry. We went to the one by Crestwood Plaza. Remember that one? Oh, they were so fun.
They
and you would
best.
Hook the thing on your window to, you could hear it. Now they probably dial in.
Remember the hamburgers in the aluminum foil?
We could never get those. We had to bring our own popcorn and everything. But it was fun.
But that's fun, too.
Yeah, it was so fun.
My dad bought a dark blue exterior and interior station wagon, and the back window rolled down automatically.
Oh, awesome.
And we went and we backed into the space and raised it up, and we had pillows, and we had popcorn that we popped at home.
God, it's so fun.
It was the best.
It does sound fun.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that 80 years ago in 1944, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France on D-Day. 80 years.
Do you know how close we came to not going and to losing. The weather was terrible, and Dwight Eisenhower wrote a speech of victory, and he wrote a speech of contrition. Mm. Blame this on me, the fact that we got slaughtered there because it was my call. Oof. And these boats that they had put together were flat bottom and they were capsizing. And so many men didn't even make it to the beaches. Mm. 9,000 are buried right there. And one of the reasons we were successful is that when they woke Hitler up, he was a famous sleeper, and he loved to sleep during the day. They woke him up, and he said, it's all a ruse. It's just a red herring. They're going to land at Calais. Not this Normandy thing is nothing to worry about. Hmm. And he went back to sleep.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Isn't
that crazy?
62 years ago in 1962, the Beatles auditioned for producer George Martin at EMI Studios. He signed them, and it was later renamed Abbey Road Studios.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Pretty neat. Fun fact. 53 years ago in 1971, the final episode of The Ed Sullivan Show aired. Gladys Knight and the Pips were Ed's last musical guests. I wanted to bring that up for Wheels. I can't remember if that was on or off the air when he's like, what's going on? Where are the
what
Pips?
What year was that? I'm sorry.
1971. Hmm. His show ran for 23 years. And 26 years ago in 1998, Sex and the City premiered on HBO. It ran for 6 seasons. 26 years ago. That's crazy.
I know. And now it's still going.
I know. Do you watch the new show?
I tried and I got to the pivotal point in season one, which yes. I think was the first episode.
Yes.
Yeah. It was.
And then I stopped. It was just because I really liked that dynamic, and yeah. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone because somebody might still be watching it. But yeah, I got through the first episode and I stopped.
Fair enough. I watched the whole first season just kind of out of boredom.
Yeah.
But it's just not that.
And also, it's just not the same without Kim Cattrall.
For
sure. It was such a 4-person team that.
Yeah, and they tried to bring in new women who are great, but it's just not the same. You need Samantha to
run. Has anything ever been the same? Has anything gone away and come back and been just as good?
I don't think so. I mean, that's a great question.
I'm trying to think of any show that came back, but...
I don't watch The Conners, but people seem to really like that when Roseanne went away and then came back.
Well, what do you think of that? They keep talking about The Office reboot, but not with any of the old cast.
I'm not interested in that at all.
Then it's a new show.
Then it's right, exactly. It's a new show set in an office.
Which I could see. I could see them doing a different season of different people each time.
But then you just don't even allude to...
Yeah, just different universes.
Right. It's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
19 years ago in 2005, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that people who smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes can be prosecuted for violating federal drug laws, even if their doctors have specifically recommended it to ease their pain. Mm.
Yeah, we've had a lot of changes.
Yeah.
19 years ago in 2005, Russell Crowe was arrested for throwing a phone at a hotel clerk. Remember when that happened?
Mm-hmm. Now he couldn't even throw a phone.
Yeah, I don't even hear about him anymore. Like, nothing.
Were we talking about him the other day as far as like people who were A-list and aren't anymore? Yeah, he's just kind of one of the, he just doesn't really make
movies. Yeah, he's like in the Nicolas Cage category where he makes about 8 movies a year that very few people see. God, listen to us. It's like they're not real people.
I know.
I get my feelings hurt so bad.
Well, Nicolas Cage was so, like, he was so hot at the time. Like, one of the, if a Nicolas Cage movie came out, everybody went to see it. And now it's like, oh, Nicolas Cage made a movie.
They're for real. Like, if I go to Amazon and they have, like, their A movies that are $20, then they have their, you know, D&C movies that are, like, 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. There can be 3 different new Nicolas Cage movies at the same time.
Yeah. I get what you're saying about how they're not real people, though, Dave, because they obviously are. And I always just have the thought of like, oh, well, they're so big, they'll never hear this. But then I always picture like Russell Crowe is like driving through St. Louis right now. And he's like, let me turn on the biggest radio station and let's see what they're talking about. We're like, he's washed up. He'll never be the same. Sorry, Russell. 13 years ago in 2011, Congressman Anthony Weiner from New York admitted he tweeted inappropriate pictures of himself to women on the internet. He resigned 10 days later.
Remember
that was
his
a
name?
Wild ride.
Carlos Danger.
Mm-hmm. Almost as bad as Anthony Weiner.
Pierre Delecto.
Carlos Danger.
Who was Pierre Delecto again?
That was Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
What?
Mitt Romney had a secret burner Twitter account anonymously.
For what?
For like engaging with people online or fighting with people online or whatever.
Pierre
Delecto.
Jeez.
And one more throwback Thursday here. 11 years ago in 2013, the Washington Post published classified NSA documents that raised invasion of privacy concerns about the government's global surveillance. They were leaked by CIA whistleblower Edward Snowden. That feels Where's like that's been now? Going on forever. I actually don't
Still
know.
Still in exile?
Yeah, he like is...
What about the other guy with the white hair?
Yes, that's...
Julian Assange.
Yes.
Yeah.
He might still be in the little embassy.
Luxembourg or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Like
thought
sheltered
he was
in an embassy.
On the move somewhere not too long ago, but now I can't remember. So I don't know why I brought it up. Sorry. Good story again. I'm racking them up over here.
Story time with Trish Gazelle.
So I like Pepsi, but doesn't keep the fizz.
You're not out of practice
the
at
end.
All. Haven't lost a step. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it was
appreciate
fun.
It. Thanks. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Time to talk to Rick Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, buddy. Couple questions for you. So the more baseball I watch, the more I realize the obvious, which is it's all about hitting major league pitching. And to do that, you see the guys taking BP, and you see them taking live BP, you see them with the pitching machines and such. But it would seem to me that nothing could really replicate hitting off a major league pitcher like hitting off a major league pitcher. Do they ever bring in, like, sub? You know what I'm trying to say? It's like...
Well, you're asking... I do know what you're trying to say, because you're asking a very relevant and actually a very current question that's being debated across baseball right now, because there are some teams, Dave, that will bring in... They use pitching machines, but ones that will throw high velocity, say 95, and ones that will throw great spin, and they'll use that for batting practice. And the idea is they want to see if guys can time up the speed that they're going to see. The other side of that would say what people are really trying to do in batting practice is just get their groove swing down and then adjust to the speed later. So it's more getting your, because the idea is if you, those people would say that if you throw too fast during batting practice, you'll get players jumpy because they'll be trying to catch up to the speed first and they'll get out of their swing. So it's kind of, you know, just kind of a hot topic right now, frankly.
So in the olden days, and by the olden days, and this is not a knock on you, I mean, like, you know, because we're pretty close to the same age, like during your era, did you have team members pitch batting practice, or have you always, as soon as they invented the pitching machine, that was it?
Well, you know, back when, you know, we were in, you rode our horse and buggy to the ballpark, you know, back in the olden days, you know, we would have coaches throw batting practice. In fact, I used to do that when I was coaching in the 90s, and that was actually the preference because the pitching machine was just not quite the same. So, because what the idea of hitting is picking up the ball out of a hand.
Yes.
So I do like coaches throwing. So what they've started doing, and I even started, you know, in my era started doing it, is they'd move the screen up closer and closer and closer to home plate. And of course, you're behind the screen, but the closer you are, the more you can simulate that velocity, but it's still not exactly the same thing as throwing off the mound.
So the other question I had for you, watching these games in Houston, Houston is a storied building, a great stadium, but a weird one, and all these little nooks and crannies and stuff. Just talk about, from your position, it would be going out to the mound, but obviously you know the guys that play the positions. How big a deal is it when you get into town at a new place?
Well, it is. You got to check the surroundings. The coaches will help you do that. You know, there's the physical part of it, like when the ball hits off a wall, how does it act? Some walls are harder than others. Some have, you know, kind of mesh, you know, screen to it. And some are, again, you know, really kind of more rubbery and bounce off quicker. And then, so you've got to test that. But then there's the visual part, Dave. And, I think the visual part is just as important. You know, even for us in the broadcast booth, there's the window panes that you have in Houston. The window panes that you have in the dome in Milwaukee, too, are a little bit different visually in terms of picking up the baseball. And so, you know, I think that's part of what you have to learn, too. You know, there's, from a fan's point of view, there's some cool things in every different ballpark, and that's part of the fun of it. You wouldn't want every ballpark to look exactly the same.
Yeah,
that would be boring.
So I bit the bullet. I'm so into baseball yesterday, and I downloaded the MLB so I can watch all the games. And
nice.
I was able to watch Paul Skeens. I watched him last year when he was in the World Series of college. This guy is just superhuman, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's made a very quick rise to the big leagues, and every 5 to 10 years, you'll have a guy like that, and that just kind of is ready to go right out of college, and in rare cases, ready to go out of high school. But that's more players, and that doesn't really happen much anymore. But the pitchers that are ready to go are few and far between. But he's that guy. I mean, he's got the high octane stuff, but he knows what he's doing too. And I think he's in the right organization to get that opportunity. Maybe he'd have been blocked in other places, but Pittsburgh gave him the chance, and he's making the best of it, and he's their best guy right now. There's no question.
So we have Colorado coming in, and they're not the greatest team at the moment. And I listen to Ollie, and I listen to every player and every manager, and they all say the same thing. It's almost like a bit from a movie, like from Major League or something like that, where you take one game at a time. You don't take anyone for granted. But when you are playing a team and you need a sweep or a 2 out of 3, do you bear down a little harder on teams like that?
Well, I think you try to the bearing down should be that you should be bearing down the same amount every time. I think what the thing is, what are your expectations? I mean, the expectations of playing Colorado at home is you got to win that series. I mean, that is the expectation. They're not they're not the Dodgers. They're not they're not the Phillies. So yeah, taking care of business at home, you should do that, and you kind of mentally know that. But I mean, the idea of trying harder, it's like who made more putts by trying harder? I mean, no one ever. I mean, you get into your zone where you putt, in a way that is your zone, and that's what you do, and that's how you play collectively. Now, I honestly got to say the World Series playoff time is a little different because there's more emotion you have to harness. But I think from any game that you play during the year, you're trying to find your own zone.
Love it. Great answers. Rick, have a great day. We appreciate it.
You bet, Dave. Great to chat.